Blog Talk Radio. National Empowerment Radio presents Let's Talk with Dr. Wendy. Real issues, real talk on Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening. I'm Dr. Wendy, and I will be your host tonight. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining me this evening. I am back! I am from a few months hiatus, I will say. Needed to take a step back, take a look at the show and the focus, and decide to do little things, some things a little differently. So I am back, and I also want to thank you for the various notes and comments and phone calls that I received regarding this show and when I was coming back, and those of you that have noted you want to be guests, I'll be reaching out to you, or some of you I've already reached out to as well. So I am just happy to be back. So tonight, oh, and you know, I have to mention, I am in Chicago, and ladies and gentlemen, it's cold here. I promise you. It is probably 1 degree. I cannot believe how cold it is here. I had to say that. Nevertheless, tonight we have some interesting topics to discuss. So before we delve into the various topics, I'd like to just note that if any point in time you have a comment you'd like to make, please feel free to call in. The call-in number for this evening is 929-477-4103. Okay? Again, that's 929-477-4103. That is the dial-in number if you have any questions or comments about anything that we are talking about tonight. Okay. Tonight I have a co-host on the line, and I am really hoping that Lady T is on the line. Can you hear me, my friend? Can you hear me?
I can hear you, and I am on the line.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. So glad you're back.
Oh, my gosh. I'm back. It was just so many different things that needed to be talked about that I hadn't gotten a chance to talk about. So I said, you know what? I got to kick off 2016 with a bang. And tonight, we really, really have a lot of topics to discuss. So without further ado, let's get started, my friend.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. First topic I'd like to talk about, and, you know, I actually had people email me about the show, and I'll tell you, I had already tagged it once I saw the promo for the film on Centric or BET or somewhere, and I believe this is a Lisa Ray project. I'm sure many of you ladies have seen it, and men as well. I've talked to some men that have seen the film as well, and it was called Skinned. Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, T, you and I talked about it, and I wanted you to watch it in particular because I knew that I wanted to talk about this film on my very first show. So, it's Lisa Ray Project, and I'm sure all of you remember Lisa Ray from Players Club and various other movies that she's been in. She put this project together, and be a bit interesting. So tonight I'd like to talk about it, and then I just want T to hear from you and for us to discuss it regarding at the end if it was a hit, thumbs up, or if it was a miss. So with that said, what was your take? I know we talked a little bit about it, and I'll tell you, I just really sat and was able to watch almost the entire thing the other day, because it's been running, I think, 2 weeks now. So
yeah,
it's been running 2 weeks, and I did ask multiple people to watch it because I wanted people to chime in. But I'd like to take it from the beginning and go as far as you were able to watch it, because I didn't see it all the way to the end. I got enough of it to get it, okay? I mean, you get it from the advertisement, but I wanted to see how Lisa Ray was going to present the information. So with that said, what was your take?
Well, without saying it was a bust, it was a bust. I'm sorry.
Wow. It was a bust for you completely?
Completely. It took me 3 days to watch the entire thing. I think I've found more enjoyment plucking my eyelashes out of my face. It was ridiculous. All I can say is this. I want to say it was a good effort, but the whole thing was just bad from the beginning. Bad acting, bad videography,
Wow. <laughs> Bad
music. And the topic, I don't know, I guess I'm out of touch. I did not know about the whole lightning. I guess I'm in a cave because I know years ago, well, I think that's our generation. I don't think it's current news. I don't know.
So it was literally a bust for you. Wow. That's total
bust.
Okay, so here is the thing. For me, it was, in the beginning, you know, the whole bleaching cream. And when I found out before the film, I watched it was bleaching cream, I thought that was interesting. So that watched it told me that was going to be a different spin on it. However, the whole, I struggled with it in that I thought it was extreme on that end with the bleaching cream. Not to say that you can't get cancer, melanoma. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the underlying message is just like it was in School Days and all these other movies that deal with light skin, dark skin. At the end of the day, that's all it dealt with, whether it was bleaching cream or whatever it was. You had your quintessential dark-skinned girl going to school in Louisiana out of all places and experienced the happiness because she was dark-skinned. So for me, it took you 3 days. It took me about 2.5 because for me, it was very slow.
That's
my biggest check. Oh, my gosh. I thought it was very slow. I thought it could have moved a little bit faster. So that's why it just didn't keep my attention. So I thought it ran a little slow. And then, it appeared like it was a B film, if that is the correct category. It just seemed really low budget.
Yeah. Budget, a low budget, right?
Very low budget. And if I grade, I would give it a C-, is what I would grade it. The message I thought when it comes to dark skin, light skin, at the end of the day, all that stuff, it really is, I think.
I agree.
However, I that the bleaching cream is, I struggled with that aspect of it. And
yeah, I did
not
too.
To say that, did you? I struggled with that. That was my big thing, was the bleaching cream.
Now,
I think just from a generation standpoint, I don't think that it's really relevant for the girls today. Not the bleaching cream. I think the issue of the dark skin, light skin is relevant still after all this time.
Right. I don't want to categorize the light-dark issue necessarily with the self-esteem, because I do want to say that it is an ongoing issue, but I think the bleaching I just, that little spin on it just threw it for me. And I have yet, since the film aired, I have yet to talk to anyone who has experienced bleaching or known of anyone who bleached their skin. Now, I will say this. I know Ambi did a product some years ago, I mean years ago, that they actually had the whole, you know, the bleach. It wasn't really bleach. It was just a toner or something.
It was even toned. Because it's keeping your skin all the same color, toning it. It was
right.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
So I just I never knew anyone that went to the extreme to put a particular product over their whole body like this character did. I mean, she was face, neck, arms.
Yeah.
And I was just like, really? Okay, so
yeah.
I don't want to make light of it because the cancer is a real issue. But
yes, it is.
You know, now they have gels and stuff like that for if you have scars that even you out, you know, even your tone out if you have scars and things like that.
The toning. Mm-hmm. It's the toning.
Right. But as far as bleaching, I have never known anyone who used it, you know, on a regular like that. And I think the storyline was just weak for me because I was left. It took me 3 days to watch the entire thing. So I was left at the end saying, okay, did the girl die? I mean, the whole park, you know, sitting looking up toward heaven singing a song, did she die? I wanted to know. You know, and that whole reconnection of the high school thing. I mean, I would have felt better if she would have made the storyline a mental illness issue because so many people now are struggling with mental issues behind self-esteem problems and things of that nature. You know, the cancer is one route, but I just didn't get it. I didn't get it. And I don't know if I'm slow, but I didn't get it. I just didn't get it.
Huh. I thought it's interesting that I don't know how she started out, they showed us a bleaching cream, and then she couldn't have a baby because of the bleaching cream and the toxins that were in her system. And then the film showed, then it went back when she went to the counselor, and then it went over her entire life, from her father to the brown paper bag. I thought that was interesting, that incident.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a bit all over the place, a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it was more than all over the place. I've never had anybody put a brown paper bag to my face to get in a party. I've never had that experience. And I guess I thought of all places, Baton Rouge seemed interesting to have that setting because I've never experienced unfriendly name calling because I'm a dark-skinned woman. Or I guess I've never taken it to heart. Maybe I've been treated a certain way and just didn't realize it because, you know, I'm okay with my pretty black skin. So I just don't, that was just, it was a bit rough for me, that part. And the whole boyfriend thing and reconnecting with the doctor's husband, it was a bit much.
I thought it was, yeah, the paper bag thing was really over the top. And then she calls her Blackie and Crispy.
And Crispy, yeah.
She called her Crispy. I said, wow, this is really interesting. But you know what? I want to say this. I do not want to reduce or minimize girls that are currently being teased because it is happening today still.
Exactly. So my question is, what is it that we just don't know that they're bleaching? Is that a current event?
That's a very good question. It's a very good question because I'm sure you recall as she went, as she continued to tell her story, she did it to fit in. And I thought it was interesting how her friend basically, what did she say? She said, light is what's up and brown is down.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
Still today that think that boys prefer lighter skinned girls because, and then she said she did the bleaching because she said it to his face. You know, I did it because I thought that that's what you like. I thought that you preferred lighter. I did not think that you would essentially be interested in someone that is as dark as me. So,
it was
in that regard, in that there are girls that are still dealing with that today.
But, you know, the interesting part for me was the home setting. Now, the father and the mother, who was played by Lisa Ray.
So Lisa Ray was the mother, right?
Yes, Lisa Ray was the mother. Now, the father was a very dark-skinned man, and he continued to call her his queen and how beautiful and, you know, all the terms of endearment. And she had that support at home. Lisa Ray's character of the mother was kind of fake for me. You're my beautiful little butterfly, whatever she said. But the treatment of the auntie when she came to the house and she said, oh, she's so dark.
Now, wasn't that a trip?
That was a bit much. I said, well, I would never, and my mom is a lighter complected woman. She's not even paper bag tan. She's light. My mom's light. My sister is light. And then I have two brothers that are lighter complected, but the rest of us are dark skinned. That was never an issue in our house. And my mother would have never allowed anything like that because it was never a discussion.
Yeah, the aunt came in and said that
See, that's one of the things that in certain parts of Africa, people need to experience because there's no question about you being considered beautiful. It's not a question because everybody looks just like you.
Do you recall the comment the girl made when the aunt came over and she embraced the two kids? I don't know if those were her girls. I'm not sure. Or were those Lisa Ray's other daughters? I didn't really get it.
I kind of thought maybe they were the sister's kids that she was keeping or something. I didn't get that.
Okay. So the girl said, Jolie was her name. She said, pretty much, Ma, you've always called me the princess or the queen. And then Lisa said, well, you know, Jolie, do you think I love you? And she basically said, well, I just thought you always said that. I just thought parents said that when they have
darker skin kids. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
What? I said, so that told you right there in her mind, she always felt all along that they were calling her a prince or a queen because that's why
right.
I asked that question. So, for you, you pretty much, I'm hearing, gave something.
Say that again. I didn't hear you.
You're giving it a thumbs down.
Oh, definitely. If
wow.
it's about Siskel and Ebert, I'm Ebert, and definitely a thumbs down. Mm-hmm.
You're giving it a thumbs down. See,
thumbs down.
I can't give it a thumbs up, and I can't give it a complete thumbs down. My thumb is to the side. If that makes sense. Because
no.
And I'm going to tell you why. For me, I just got past the boosting frame and just took it as there is a message in this film that I think parents and girls need to get and get a better understanding so they can understand what their girls need to do. That's what I got.
Okay.
So the bleaching cream piece, I will say, I'm giving that portion of it a thumbs down. I just didn't think that aspect of it I didn't want at all. So, all right,
mm-hmm.
all right. We got a lot to cover here. Time is going pretty quickly. Now, I want to go to the next topic here, and I want to discuss President Obama's final state of the union. And I just want to discuss just some of the highlights, and we're going to go issues like, just so lay the law of the land of the chapter 9. We're going to talk about issues like skin, go politics, go to something else, come back to politics. We just got a lot to cover tonight, just so you understand where I'm going. I got so much to expect. Wow, you're going from skin to President Obama. Interesting transition. Yeah, that's cool. So just patience. Got any comments? So how do you think this is his last state of play? He touched on a lot, talked a lot about various things. So I thought he was very cool, calm, collected. Basically, to me, I got the sense that he definitely is ready to go. And he had filters, as he always will, but he covered a lot of ground. So one area in particular, you know, he talked about students and immigration and protecting kids from gun violence, paid leave, raising the minimum wage, things like that. And I could go on and on and on. However, overall, I just want to get your perspective on the overall message. Even though you have Republicans saying that, you know, he's a terrible stuff, he needed to time for him to go. You know, that I heard all that after the state of the union. However, what was your take on his final?
I thought he took the passive road. I agree with the Republican Party. It is time for him to go. But I don't say that with a negative tone at all. He has served 8 years, and his term is up. And just like any other State of the Union address, you go out on your high points. You're not going to talk about the bad things, you know, in your term, your two terms. And contrary to what the American public wants to make the wants to make the media say he's accomplished a lot. Over 5 million jobs available in the past 8 years. He's, you know, got the treaties passed, foreign policy treaties passed, and he's fought an objective Congress the whole way. So I think he took the right road by talking about his accomplishments and, you know, going out on a high note. He went out on an optimistic high note with his State of Union address. And that's what he should have done. Nobody's going to stand up there and say, I've made some bad decisions. And, you know, he talked about what the position America should take now. And hopefully what Sanders and Clinton will follow, because Trump and Cruz disagree with every single thing that he has said. And it tells you that his message was not received because of the demeanor and the body language of all those that were sitting behind him. I can't think of the man from Wisconsin. I can't think of his name right now. But, I mean, his whole body language was ridiculous. So he's been opposed since day one. So why not take the high road? Because you can't take his two terms away from him. So you might as well capitalize on his accomplishments, because it does no good to talk about his bad. He had to clean up a whole lot. He came in running, and he's going to leave walking because he doesn't, you know, it's over. And he's just saying what, you know, he thinks people want to hear, like any other president. I think it was a mediocre State of the Union address.
Let me give you my grade first.
Okay.
Let me give you my grade first. I would give him.
You would give him what?
Okay. Grade.
I'd probably grade it a B minus.
Okay.
B minus because he covered all of the areas and that's all it was about. Because he, you know, after 8 years he will have a farewell speech. It won't be considered a State of the Union, but it'll be a farewell speech. Same thing Clinton did. Same thing Carter did. He'll have a farewell speech, but, you know, he covered the topics. That's all anybody can ask. You know, the viewing rates were way, way down.
They were.
They were down 50 million viewers less than when he accepted the Democratic nomination 8 years ago, and then down, I think they said 79 million viewers less than when he, you know, when he first did his second term address. So I don't attribute that to what he had to say or what he's accomplished. I attribute it to most people recorded it and watched it on YouTube because nobody wanted to sit in front of the TV and just watch it.
But who does that now? A lot of people don't.
Nobody.
They just don't. And you have, you just really don't. I mean, statistically, you just find more that are, and they'll come back and catch it. I think you find more now that they'll watch the, since we're in the middle of a presidential election, you have more people that watch the debate real time than you will anything else, because you want to hear the issues in the moment, and they want to be part of that discussion, being that they have to make for the upcoming election. However, as for listening to hear someone that's on their way out, yes, I also read some more extreme and lower than what was actually anticipated.
Absolutely.
So you are right. He did cover, I agree with you, cover the pertinent point, basically indicating what he recommended whoever is in office is recommending to take. And that was basically it. It was actually short to me. I thought it was a little shorter than what I anticipated. However, I do agree with you. It's time. It took time.
Two times is a lot.
It's a lot of pressure. It's just really a lot. And I agree with you. Yes, definitely. I believe I saw somewhere where there are. He has over 100 accomplishments, and I'm actually trying to look I recall reading somewhere where there's over 100 accomplishments that he has successfully during his presidency. So, you know, I definitely believe he has done more than what has anticipated, and it is, I think he's leaving on a high note, is what I'll say. How about that?
Definitely leaving on
a high
note.
Mm-hmm. In my opinion.
Yeah.
I think this particular speech was definitely one of the more speeches that I've ever heard him speak, because all of the state of the union that he has given, I've pretty much watched in real time, and they were had a different level in it. So this message definitely almost everything. This is a lot about education. It appeals to me. That's what I got out of it. So, all right, let's keep it moving here. We need to move on to the next topic in legislative politics. Now, okay, we have President Obama that's on his way out. However, I just think we have an interesting cast of characters with this, all of the current presidential nominees. I'm struggling.
I'm not struggling at this point right now. I'm not comprehending a platform from any of these people. Everybody, and I'm going to be, you know, really candid with this. For some reason, everybody thinks it's a shoe-in for Hillary Clinton. It's not. I really think the president is favoring Sanders right now. Trump is a joke, and I don't care who likes that comment that I made. He's a joke, and his own party, they just cringe every time he gets up with something different. So Cruz is he's apocalyptic sensationalist. So, you know, he's trying to appeal to a group of people that he even has no connection with, pastors and all this crap. So I just don't, it's going to be very interesting to see how it all plays out, because nobody has a real platform right now. You cannot base a platform or presidency, a candidate, on all of the bad of the previous person. Because if that would be the case, then, you know, I can't think of the gentleman's name right now, the Mormon guy that was running against President Obama. If that would be the case, then he would have been successful. You can't build your platform on this is all bad and I'm going to fix it all, because you're not. You're not going to fix everything because you have a Congress and a House of Representatives to deal with. So right now, President Mitt Romney, there you go. President Obama is the topic of conversation. After he leaves office, it'll be somebody else that'll be the topic of conversation. So no one will like everything that any candidate does. No one will agree with everything that they do. But at the end of the day, we're stuck with whoever we get because, contrary to what people believe, it's not always about your vote. You know, the electoral is something different. And, you know, that's why we were trying so hard here in Houston to appeal to the voter during midterms and, you know, the elections that matter, because, you know, it's all about the electoral vote when it's time to select the president. And people don't understand that whole process. So whoever we get stuck with, we're pretty much just stuck with for whatever term until we can, you know, do something different. But my biggest concern right now, and I'll be totally honest with you, is these random acts of terrorism. The economy is what it is. We buy when we're able to buy. Oil prices are down. It's not that we don't have oil. It's just the prices are down. The market, you know, he set the market straight, charging the high interest to, you know, the bigger businesses. All those things he put in order. Unfortunately, he may not get to conclude the Immigration Act, but, you know, he put a good foot forward. But it pretty much is what it is, because we failed to vote during midterms and to these elections that would gather electoral votes and put some, you know, reasonable people in these governor positions, these mayoral positions, you know, people who have something to say, who want to make a change. You know, pretty much they're controlled by the Congress, so you got to do what you can and fight and see which one weighs heavy at the moment. But my biggest concern is the random terrorist attacks. The other, it kind of works itself out in the economy. When you can't predict where the next attack is, and they have, ISIS now has so many small attacks and then large attacks in other areas. They're all over the place. That's my concern. Will it be a World War III? Is it because of something that a president has done? Absolutely not. It's because there are radical people in every culture. And it all boils down to belief. So, you know, that's a serious issue. So do you go and bomb everybody? Do you start a war with everybody? Do you try to protect everybody? No. America hasn't been in existence that long. These are old countries with old issues. And it's my opinion that a lot of it has nothing to do with us, and we don't even need to be bothered with it. But when you start attacking American soil, there's a time that you have to retaliate. But who makes the right decision? That's something to be concerned about.
Well, I'll tell you, when I say my concern, take a look at the people that are running, and look at the Democratic side of the House. I think it will down to the Clinton and Sanders for some of these other people that are left. Not and back saying, if I had to vote today, someone came to me and said, you have to vote today. Seriously. No more debate. Everyone's voting today. I will vote for Bernie Sanders.
If you had to vote today, you would vote for Bernie Sanders.
Okay.
That's where I'm at today. Now, interestingly enough, we could say that Trump is still wide leading on the Republican side. Entertainment for us.
I didn't hear that last comment.
I said it. We're sitting and saying that Trump is a vote, it is a joke, why is he leading on the Republican side? I mean, that is just amazing to me how he has, first he was number two against the third. What's the gentleman's name? Ben Carson. I don't think I've ever seen him involved in anything politically, but you don't have to be. If you have money, you can run for president. So...
But if money made a president, then it would, you know, that Trump would be the shoe in, so they say. But I don't really know how Ben Carson got in this whole political arena. It's my opinion that he needs to stay in the research and surgical area and leave politics to someone else.
Yeah, I didn't understand that either. When I heard his name, I said, isn't that the guy that attacked the twins? That's what I remembered about him, because it was about him and his intellect and him being, I believe, the first one to do that, not the first black man to do that. I can't recall what the story was, but when I heard Ben Carson, that's the first thing I remember was seeing, getting an image of Cody Gooding Jr. playing his role. Is that played in the I think it's
Nevertheless. Yeah, that's who he is. That is who he is. He's the first black surgeon to separate twins. Yeah. And yeah. Mm-hmm.
First black surgeon, straight twins, so on and so for him.
And he was noted to be a brain surgeon. Yeah.
Correct. So he starts out, he was leading Trump for weeks, though. And the man is a brain surgeon. I don't get it. I don't understand that at all. Nevertheless, I think this presidential election has a very interesting, almost interesting set of candidates. I just struggle with it. And how old is Bernie Sanders? Is he 80?
Yeah. Well, no, he's not 80. I think he's like... I don't know how old Bernie Sanders is. I'm going to look it up, though, while we're talking. Yeah.
He's
old.
Close to it, so that... I'm going president that President Obama's what, early 50s?
Yeah.
Early 50s, I believe the first lady turned 51, 52, I guess, yesterday or today, it's her birthday, something like that. So then here, Bernie Sanders is what, 77, 75?
He's 74. So, he's 74.
Okay. 74. All right. So here, I just think age is, you know, variance politically, but I just think age is working against him. And he just, that's an issue. So I just don't see anyone else on the Democratic side that stands out from the outside of Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. So if you had to vote today, who would you vote?
Oh. No comment.
Oh, my God. You cannot say no comment.
Well, I can't choose. I can't choose today. Today, I can't choose.
If I had to choose based off what I know, I would go with that. That's what I would say. I just am not going with the girl power on this one.
I haven't bought into her either. I also haven't fully bought into Sanders again because they don't have a platform.
No, they don't. And since they don't, if I had to vote based off of none of them having platforms and be going off of knowing that they don't have platforms, I'd come up with the one that I would think is a better job. Because you're right, I agree with you, they don't have platforms. All right, let's keep this moving. The time is ticking. I want to hit a couple of these topics here. All right, I want to talk about the Oscars and having no diversity in the Oscars, whether it's writers, actors. I mean, there's just nothing with that. I mean, we're talking no concussion, no straight out of Compton. There's just no, and it doesn't even have to be black. It's black, brown, European. There's just nothing. What is going on with the Oscars? I was expecting something, and it's really caused a big uproar, and it happens every time that there is no majority representation. For this to be 2016, and we still don't have majority representation, I'm talking to the writers, not even actors, writers, directors, any of those categories, but I looked at the categories, and I looked up the various categories and just mortified that there's just no brown representation at all. So what was your take? I mean, do you follow it? Where are you at? I follow.
Well, I'm gonna have to bow out on this one because I'm just gonna be honest with you. I don't give a crap about the Oscars. I mean, yeah, there's no diversity, but there's never been any diversity. You get a token every now and again. And, you know, we got to think about getting our own stuff and representing who we are and what we do on our own. I mean, I'm so sick of black creativity having to be put in a nutshell with white America. That, you know, we don't think alike. We don't do things alike. We don't respond alike. And it's okay to be different. That this is my thing. It's okay to be different. Why do we want to fit in this little shell of an Oscar to give ourselves credence for the art and the creativity that we have? I'm going to be real black here for a minute. We've created most things because we had to find a way to make it easier because we had to always take the hard road. We were never noted for that. You know, we've got all the acting capability. We're creative. We're an emotional. We're a sensitive people. You know, but we should not be governed according to what the Oscars think. And I disagree with.
Stop you though, but society has the Oscar is elite, highest award in that industry. So if you are any means of an A-lister, the overall objective, and I'm going to be very blunt, the overall objective from a rating standpoint, from a visibility standpoint, from how much money you're how much money you can make as an actor, the Oscar has more weight than NAACP. And you
absolutely.
You can call it what you want to
get that? Oscar is considered the quintessential award any actor wants. That does nothing. Look at Zach Fox. Zach Fox didn't put an Oscar away. I believe it's not safe. Keep on a set up. Because right now, Zach Fox did sell and Halle Berry are the three in the last decade that have won Oscars. And I put Zach Fox on an Oscar several years ago. Yeah, that's 2014. 2004. On an Oscar. That meeting with Eric Stop. A, listen, keep meeting with every time you look up. Keep Tom all of A, listening actors, Dick Fox, boom. So, but that does not happen to individuals that get to end up late. End up late. That doesn't increase their size. It's not the best. So you can say whatever you want, but from a monetary and status standpoint, the Oscar has to be. And from what I see, various articles that I read, in many instances, the image of what was created was what we had. We need to create our own. And that's. But does creating our own also equate to the same dollars that Denzel or Halle or James or anyone else will then would make comparing it to an Oscar? Well, and I got somebody to send me a message here saying, wow, you're actually saying the image award does next week's star. No, it's not the same. That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. So what's your take on that? Did I lose Lady T? Are you still here?
The connection is kind of bad, but I can still hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can because I think you dropped to another line, right? Another phone number?
Yes, I dialed in on another line thinking it would be better, but it's not. So, but this is my thing. I don't discredit any other award, okay? I know the Oscars have for 88 years have been the precedents. It's precedents. It's everybody wants to be on that list. But at the end of the day, you're not any less of an actor. Will Smith played the hell out of Concussion, but he was outshined by Star Wars. Only because Star Wars is popular. And nobody wants to hear the story about the black doctor who tried to bring down the NFL. That's the reason he didn't get an Oscar. Nobody wants to hear the story about Compton. It only means something to us, those of us who knew the struggle of those young men back in the day when hip-hop was not accepted. It don't mean nothing to them. So that's why we need to have our own. I disagree with everything that Jada Smith said. You're not going to boycott. You know why you're not going to boycott? Because you still want to take those fat checks to the bank. You don't want to make waves. That's all it's about. You're not going to make waves. You're going to say what you want to say, but at the end of the day, you're still going to cash checks. At the end of the day, it's just a bunch of hype. The rich get richer. Okay, so now you want to be noted as an Oscar recipient, and if you're not, does that mean that you're less of an actor? Absolutely not. But why do we want to always fit the mold? And who's to say that the mold has to be ivory instead of ebony? Why we can't make our own molds? I'm so sick of hearing about the Oscars and, oh, there are no black screenplay writers. And, oh, yes, there are. There are plenty. There are plenty, but the reason we don't know about them is because we're too busy looking at the A-list of the Oscars instead of watching the Emmys, watching the NAACP Awards. You know, we want to DVR those, but we want to sit up and watch Madonna and that other girl that I can't stand that gets the best score for every single title that she portrays, and she's not a great actor. It's just that she's always in those movies, and that's what they want to see. I don't care nothing about the Oscars. I don't care if they don't ever have anybody nominated black or winning black, because that is not our standard. We're better than that. Okay, so we didn't get an Oscar. Really?
Yeah, Concussion didn't have a stance during that time. Star Wars grossed like $800 million.
And stayed on the top one for a whole, it's been out a month?
I mean, and this is as of 12/18 from what I'm saying. So I know it's higher. So at this point, it's $856 million. And I'm not even sure if this is worldwide. However, here you have Concussion worldwide box office numbers, 36 million.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have Out of Compton, well, $200 million worldwide. So once I saw that Concussion was being released at Christmas weekend with Star Wars, I did not plan. I just knew it did. Regardless of how strong the message, and I haven't seen I've been talking to people about it, and I mean, just alone with me just hearing the interviews, just that information in itself is compelling, because I do know parents that have pulled their kids out of football because of scares. So
mm-hmm.
I know the messaging is important. However, the NFL is going to do some things about it, but the overall things aren't going to change because it's much of a moneymaker. We'll have some parents to think about it, know something about it, but as time goes on, that will pass. However, I just don't think we'll have a chance at all going up against Star Wars.
Absolutely not. But even something as simple as best makeup and hairstyling, the nominees came off of Mad Max. Come on now. What does that tell you? I'm so over trying to be a part of something that some group of people don't want me to be a part of. Okay, whatever. You know, I'm not a fan of Oscar nominees and who didn't make it. And at the end of the day, Denzel Washington is an outstanding actor. Will Smith is an outstanding actor. You know, I mean, I can't think of her name that played in the. Oh gosh, I can't think of her name right now. But outstanding actresses. You know, so what? You don't get an Oscar. Just be proud when you accept your Emmy. How about that? Be proud when you accept your image. Yeah, have something good to say. You know, this is the thing that upsets me when we get these other awards because we don't credit them as high as the Oscars. They don't show up. Really? Okay, just like the public can make you, they can also break you. You know, when we get tired of seeing something, we really stop watching. We stop buying tickets, and then what's our next step? We bootleg? Yeah. So just stop showing up accept your image and your Emmys and your other NAACP awards. Stop showing up to those and see how much support you get. If you would give support to what you are noted for and accept it with the same amount of pride as you would accept your Oscar, somebody may look at you. But I have one more time not to see Will Smith show up at a NAACP award. One more. I don't care how popular he is.
But see, that tells you a lot. That should tell you something right there. That's what I'm saying. The NAACP Image Award, the Source Award, the Soul Train Award, and those awards take back seat to the Grammys, to the Emmys, to the Oscars, and actors at his level, because I remember that there were a couple of times, and I remember Beyonce got flat for not showing up. It's the BT Award? Yeah, that's
mm-hmm.
right? Okay.
Right.
Yeah. She didn't show up a couple of times, because to me, what I see is they poo-poo on those awards, because it doesn't give them the status, it doesn't give them the crossover. They don't want to stay in the chitlin circuit, so it doesn't give them that crossover appeal that the Grammy or an Emmy or it's another award that I can't think of what it is right now, or I would just say the Oscar gives them. So to me, I just think they poo-poo on those awards. That's the impression that I get. I don't even remember the last time I saw Will at Emmy. I don't even remember. Maybe you remember better than I do, but I don't remember him physically showing up.
Yeah. Well, I'm the wrong person for this one. I'm sorry. Because
okay.
I don't care anything about Oscars.
I just wanted to get my sense on how and why, and just talk about how black actors have won the Oscar, how after they won, which I will say it took me a minute to swallow the feel of Denzel winning for Training Day. You know, that was
mm-hmm.
a flat for me. After all of these different roles he played in his lifetime, he goes and wins for when he plays a thug. So, okay. So then you have Halle Berry, who wins. Wasn't she a prostitute in that movie? Monsters Ball. Never had any interest in going to see the movie, and still have not seen it to this day.
Yeah, Monsters Ball. She was a very disturbed woman.
Very disturbed. Prostitute, maybe extreme, but I know it was something on the line of something like that. She wins Monsters for that. So,
mm-hmm.
and her. The same way. She's played other roles as well. But nevertheless, I'll digress, and I'll next is, I thought this was interesting. And I don't know if you heard about it. It was about, I saw all this going across about black girl magic can't be denied. And I first saw it on, oh my gosh, NBC, then I saw it on the Huffington Post, then I saw it on Essence, and then I like Melissa Harris. Is that her last name? Harris or Perry? I think it's Perry. I like her.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a lot of good topics. Well, I saw something come across her feed as well, and I said, what is all this black girl magic can't be denied? So, I want you to listen to this clip, and then I want you to briefly discuss the clip, and just tell me what you get out of it, because for me, it's in line with that movie again, that film again. That movie. So just listen to this.
Welcome back to So Popular. I'm Janet Mock. Growing up, I spent a lot of time in my grandmother's kitchen in Texas. Sundays were my favorite. It was a day of family and football, a day where Grandma Shelley and my aunts gossiped and cackled and smacked their tongues in braided hair and cooked collard greens and cornbread. Black girl magic surrounded me. There was magic in the ordinary. And as I grew older and left the comfort of Grandma's kitchen, that magic seemed to fade, especially when I watched movies and read magazines. Black girls exist in a culture where we are told we are pretty for black girls, where our hair and our booties are deemed public property, where we're either someone's side chick or baby's mother. We exist in a culture where our baby hairs are not ours, where our full lips are not ours, where our cornrows and our fros are not ours, where the magic we create is not ours, it's everyone's. To be simultaneously copied and erased is our plight. It's why when we are actually seen and centered from Teen Vogue to Essence, it's cause for celebration when I got my hands on copies of Essence's special Black Girl Magic issue featuring Tiana Paris, Netta Elzy, and Yara Shahidi, I felt like a kid again. But for Linda Chavers, the issue triggered her and propelled her to interrogate Black Girl Magic in a thought-provoking piece for Elle.com. Chavers writes, "When I see Black Girl Magic, I smile and feel warm inside because I will always find delight in the sight of happy Black girls and women. But then I pause because I'm thinking to myself, I've heard this one before. And reader, so have you, the strong Black woman archetype, which also includes the mourning Black woman who suffers in silence, is the idea that we can survive it all, that we can withstand it, that we are, in fact, superhuman. Black Girl Magic sounds to me like just another way of saying the same thing, and it is smothering and stunting. It is, above all, constricting rather than freeing." Chavers has a point here, particularly that Black girls and Black women are made to fit into narrow archetypes that limit our humanity, that tell us we cannot be both vulnerable and strong, that we cannot twerk and get a degree, that we cannot be. But there is a vital space, a necessary space, where we must, for our communal benefit, make such proclamations about ourselves and lift one another up. Bene Vieira wrote the cover stories for Essence and said in response to Chavers, "You see, the sheer resistance toward Black women celebrating each other is why we will continue to do so. Black Girl Magic can't be denied. It won't crumble in the face of naysayers. Our very existence is magic, and that's worthy of celebration. Black Girl Magic is more than a statement or a slogan. Black Girl Magic is a centering of ourselves, a centering of our greatness, a centering of our individual triumphs, and an acknowledgement, a public acknowledgement of our collective victories. Black Girl Magic is Viola Davis bringing Harriet Tubman on the Emmy stage. Black Girl Magic is Serena Williams taking her throne. Black Girl Magic is Laverne Cox telling us that no matter our path to girlhood, we are beautiful. And Black Girl Magic is Ava DuVernay becoming a damn Barbie and selling out in mere minutes. To openly proclaim that Black girls are magic is not to erase the nuance, the complexity, the struggle of our existence. No. Proclaiming Black Girl Magic is the in the face of injustice, in the face of our communities being plagued by violence and HIV, prisons and policing, is to protect our girls and the little girls inside us from being forced out of girlhood because of circumstance. Black Girl Magic protects her, lets her sit here for a little while longer, lets her bask in her own bubbly, brilliant blackness. Black Girl Magic is a resounding reclamation. That's all the time we have for So Popular. Remember, you can always tweet me at Janet Mock using our hashtag So Popular and catch all.
So what's your take on that?
Black girl magic.
Black girl magic can't be denied.
It can't
be. I just kept seeing that hashtag everywhere, and I was like, what is this Black girl magic? And when I heard that, I said, oh. So what's your take on that?
If we would refuse to let it be denied, we wouldn't have a concern about why we're not on the Oscars. We're a unique people. I agree with the part. How are you going to be erased? You can't erase every. These lips are talked about, but everybody wants them. You know, the skin color, it's shunned, but everybody wants it. We have a unique everything about us. Everything is unique about us. And we don't want to recognize it. We don't want to be excited about who we are. This is the best time, for as far as I'm concerned, for Black women, Black men. Everybody wants to be like you, so they hate you. They're intimidated. They're intimidated, and they want to shake you because you're not a part of their culture. I don't want to be white. I love being Black. I don't want my hair straight. I don't want blue eyes. For all those who have blue eyes, I'm not talking about you, but I don't want all that. I'm good. I'm good with my brown eyes and my brown skin and my nappy hair and my attitude when it's necessary and my creativity when it's necessary. I'm a good fixer. I can fix your problems and be mama at the same time. Yeah, all of that. I'm good. I'm good with who I am. And I think that's just reaffirming it. You can't be denied. Yeah, you can be pushed back. You can, you know, they can give you a hard time, but at the end of the day, they're coming back. They're coming back to you because they want to be a part of your circle. They want to be who you are. They want to be with you. They want to be in your presence. Please, we've done everything from inventions that were needed at the time to feeding their kids because they couldn't produce milk. Come on. I know who I am. I know who I am.
The challenge is, I agree. However, you mentioned the lip, mentioned the hip, and all these things that we as black women deal with physically. However, years ago, they didn't want the lip. Now, we've got to getting injections to have the lips that we naturally have. So, in many instances, you're absolutely right. It can't be denied, which also means that we cannot allow society to infiltrate our mind so that think that we should.
Exactly. But you got to know who you are. We're so busy denying sometimes.
You got to know who you are. But I'm going to say this. I think, and I look back on this, and I hate I didn't do this a decade ago. I think the whole natural hair phenomenon for sisters is awesome. And it's really a trip because I almost feel like an idiot because when I went natural, I couldn't even remember what my hair looked like. Didn't know what the pattern was. And that, I'm sure, that was the case for many of us who decided to go natural because we was on the green track for so long that we made that complete transition and it took, and our edges got fuzzy from the clump. When essentially, that's who we are.
Exactly.
So, you know, yeah, I agree with everything that you're saying, but unfortunately, we live in a society where, whether it is, and I'm talking men and women, girls in particular, more so than women, that the imagery, the TV, social media is just, it's killing us off the screen. So that it's killing us. I think it's killing us off the screen. I don't like who they are. I'm going to say, I've gone very tight. I can't remember on I and color contact. And I'm talking black. I've never. It's crazy.
Well, I think if more black women, black girls would bask in that first impression that they give when they walk in the room and their hair is nappy, and I say nappy, you're dressed to the hilt, you're flawless, and somebody says, what type of makeup do you wear? And you say, I don't have on any. I got that reaction yesterday. I don't have on any makeup. I'm flawless. I woke up like this. You know, it's something. It's a reaction. It's a feeling like none other. When you can run your fingers through your hair and just say, I'm good with it, you know. You're intimidated by it. Why? I don't know. You know, yeah, my hips are big and my lips are, but yeah, I'm good. At the end of the day, I'm a beautiful black woman. There's not many black women that say that on a regular. My mother used to tell me to stand in the mirror every day, at least once a day, and say, you sure are pretty. She used to tell us that. She would tell us to make sure we take the cream and rub it on our faces, you know, to make sure our skin stayed healthy, drink plenty of water. You know, all the old stuff now, the stuff that Martha Stewart gets paid to do. Yeah, Mama used to tell us those things. And if we listen.
But just look at the movie today that talks about skin. That girl was in heaven when that guy told her that she was attractive because she had never heard of it. She didn't hear it, and she didn't think that she was. So you just have girls that are not getting that kind of reinforcement, that they have parents telling them that they are pretty, are beautiful. That, I mean, because that starts when you are young. And if you're not told that, if you go, you got kids down on you, teasing you, for skin color, hair, you know, black girls struggle. It's always struggle with hair. So that's been an issue for you to get a con.
Well,
so
then that's our fault, because as older women who have gone through some struggles, and you know, you don't start living until you're 40. But it's our fault, because we need to be reinforcing them. We need to be telling them, you can't be denied. You know, everything is at your fingertips. Everything that you are that somebody else wants to be. Walk in it. Bask in it. Do your thing. Do you. Be you. But be the best you can be.
And be you. And I agree. I just love that segment. That piece. When I heard that, I said, "Wow, I want to play this tonight, because it's a thing." She absolutely said it can't be denied, but it has to be denied. I would say that.
I'm gonna listen to the more. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was an excellent piece when I heard that. Black Girl Magic can't be denied. I just loved it. I heard that I could play that over and over. It's so good. So it is. We have reached our time, and we have successfully talked about every single thing and more that we wanted to discuss. So, I always enjoy having you on the show. You've got to be one of the most, if not one of the more opinionated people that I know at all.
I'm always controversial, but I'm glad that you're back.
I am glad that I am back as well. And we're going to continue to do this every Sunday evening at 9 p.m. And please let me know whenever you'd like to get co-host, because I love having you. Keep that in mind.
Thank you. I saw on your page, and I know you're closing, but I saw on your page a gentleman you need to reach out to. I think he would be a great interview for your show. Just check out your page on your Let's Talk Dr. Wendy and try to connect with him, because I think that would be an excellent show.
So look at it, and I'll reach out to him. Maybe you can always catch me on Facebook as Dr. Una N. A. Johnson. That's where everybody's at, Instagram and Facebook. So it's all about social media. If you're not there, you're not going to know what's going on. So, Lady T, please keep in touch. We'll definitely talk next week, my friend.
I will. Take care.
All right. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we'll close out here for the evening. I want to, again, just reinforce, and please tune in next week, because I will continue thoughts. Have a good day. Bye.
Oh, yeah. you cook for me. This makes me feel happiness. Keep praying for me, just pray for me, 'cause this makes me feel oh so blessed. It's a beautiful day, baby, when we wake up to the sunshine. Yeah, I feel you warm laying next to me. Glad that you are mine, all mine.